Welcome back to the Forbidden News Update. I am Chris Matthew. With us is, of course, Corey Hughes. How you doing, Corey?
Excellent. Thank you.
Our special guest tonight is, once again, X-Cube 420. X-Cube, how you doing tonight?
I'm feeling a whole lot better than what I've felt the past 2 weeks, so yeah.
Okay, good. You were frozen there, but you're back. Awesome.
Okay.
It's good to know you're feeling better. You lost your voice, and it's all back now.
Did COVID steal it?
I'm afraid not. Me and Chris were speaking before the show, and I'm pretty sure that I was speaking too much truth, so somebody probably slipped something in my drink. So that's what I'm guessing. It's almost like a Navalny moment.
I gotcha.
Makes sense. You know, you start talking too much and things start happening. But, you know, that's the risk you gotta take whenever you're talking to people like this.
Start talking too much and you end up in a Russian gulag.
There you go.
All right. Well, tonight, let's just have another free-for-all. We're going to take some audience questions since we're taking a risk here being on YouTube. We may get kicked off tonight. Who knows? But let's start out with some of X-Cube's favorite news stories of the past few weeks or couple of weeks or however long it's been since we last talked. What have you found interesting lately, X-Cube?
Well, of course, I've made a few videos right here recently about the switching up as far as the CDC on their mask guidance and all that. But what I found really interesting here, and I'll say it in code, but the FDA, when they were talking about not using an antibody test to determine on whether somebody had immunity or not for the COOF, that was really an eye-opener right there. And they said, especially in people who had already received the jab. So that lets me know that as far as their convalescent plasma that they're using for their antibody test or with their antibody treatment that they're using, they're not able to use the blood from or the plasma from people who have received the jab, because technically you're not going to see any antibodies there. So that raises a question on what that's actually doing to the body in a whole. So I thought that was very interesting. The FDA released that, but no news outlet talked about it or anything. I did have that up on my channel and went over that, but they kept it very short. But even the Red Cross says that, hey, you know, if you've had the COOF and recovered from it, then we'll take your plasma. If you had the jab, we don't want it. So I thought that was very interesting.
That's really interesting. That's like some borderline leprosy kind of shit going on right there. Like, we don't want it, you know, like, it's really scary. This whole viral shedding thing is really, it's quite, concerning, you know, like, I don't want to be around people who got this fucking vax, believe it or not. Like, I just don't. Sorry. Like a half the dating pool just disappeared, which fucking sucks.
Makes me think we should start saving up our sperm or something. It's going to be worth more than gold soon, you know? People are going to be after that stuff.
You might have a good point there, but they said that, and the reason they said that is because, for me, what I think is that, of course, they still want this the whole vax passport, which that's kind of crumbling. Of course, we've seen right here recently, well, Israel and Denmark are getting rid of theirs completely. Because from what I'm seeing, they know that 50% of adults in the U.S. has received the jab, and they know that's it. I mean, that's all they're going to get unless they get some kids. So I think they're seeing that stuff start to crumble, except in places like New York, you know, they ain't got no problem with getting a jab and showing some papers. California, probably, they ain't got no problem showing papers, you know, Pennsylvania, places like that. So I think they're panicking. Today, California just launched a $116.5 million lottery for folks who have received the vax. So all these states are putting out lotteries and stuff like that. It's like, I mean, this campaign, they're losing the battle as far as getting people vaccinated on a mass scale.
Yeah, something else we're seeing. You mentioned the lottery. We got it going on here. I think a few states are doing a lottery. If they have to offer you, you know, these $1 million lotteries to get this medical thing that's supposed to save lives, is it really, you know, what they say it is? What is going on there? That's so
crazy. Put $10 million on the table, and I'll take that fucking shot right now. I'll roll the dice. Or superpowers. I'm telling you, if I can fucking fly after I get the shit, it's on.
Oh, so you talking about unlocking like the X gene.
Mm-hmm. If I can get some beams out the eyes or X-ray vision, that'd be a great one for the women's locker room. Okay. You know, I think, you know, the incentives got to be legit. Not like, hey, we might give you $1 million if you might fuck up your whole genetic system and never be able to have kids again. Right. So, no, these people, like, this is the most, this is the, like, I can't even put into words how like, insidious this whole campaign has been. I really would like to personally be the hangman when they fucking round these people up for doing this to us.
I can't agree with you more. And I think it's kind of funny. If you see on the platforms, all of a sudden things that would get you kicked off are now acceptable to talk about because the government said it was acceptable to talk about now. And that's the whole premise, like the gain of function, you know, but I mean, on every platform, if you were talking about gain of function, man, whatever you were doing, it was nuked.
I love how Facebook just now undid their shit. Yeah, now Facebook is allowing you to talk about the lab leak when before you couldn't talk about it. So they just basically tipped their hand and said, we're full of shit across the board. I mean, that's like the biggest acknowledgement that they're full of shit, that they're now allowing certain you to talk about certain, like, fuck you, Facebook. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Now I'm probably out of the loop on this, but they've actually started changing their terms and policies, terms and conditions for these social platforms now.
Yes. Yes. Facebook changed theirs. Yeah. Facebook changed theirs either today or yesterday, where it made it acceptable to say that the virus was potentially man-made and leaked from a lab. Whereas before you would either get, you know, memory hold or you would just get, you know, your whole page deleted. So now it's acceptable, but it's just kind of funny that you got to wait for the government to say it's acceptable, and then you're able to talk about it. Now, that's what I keep trying to tell people as far as the private sector and the government being intertwined. People are like, oh, well, you know, they're a private company and do what they want. I said, no. They're taking their cues from the government, because once the government says, okay, we're going to talk about it now it's okay for you to talk about it, as opposed to getting the information out earlier.
Well, the government, what they've done essentially is they have outsourced their fascism to the private corporations. They've outsourced the censorship. They've outsourced everything, you know, the TSA and getting on a plane and flying out of the country. You know, they put in 2001, they put the kibosh on all that stuff, right? It's just a slow degradation of our rights, not facilitated by the government. They're not putting cameras out on every street corner. We're putting them on our fucking doorbells, right? Like, they have trusted us and the corporations to basically monitor and control ourselves. It's fucking disgusting. Like, seriously, we need to this government needs to go in its entirety. There's nothing salvageable here.
You're right. They've turned us against ourselves. One of the most just disgusting things that I've seen, and I've witnessed it firsthand because I've gone to our local stores and I go outside and I see what people are doing. There's this new thing called mask culture, where people still wear masks because they think it's cool, or it's a new trend to do. But they also have the people who are scared still, scared to death, because they were programmed by our own media and government to be scared of this imaginary thing that's, you know, whatever it is, COVID. And it's ridiculous. It's disgusting. And it's terrifying how indoctrinated people can become over the course of like a year and a half, you know?
Well, I think it's hilarious, because the people who are still wearing the mask are the ones that have received the jab. And you're like, I mean, are you not partaker? I mean, do you not believe in the science? Now, the CDC came out and said, you know, it's time for you to take your mask off, but you don't want to believe in that science. But, you know, any other thing they said, as long as it was, you know, the end of the world, the apocalypse, which one we got? Armageddon, wasn't that Bruce Willis?
Yeah, that's like they believe them. Yeah. They believe them in as much as putting the mask on. As soon as they said put the mask on, it was like, boom, let's do it. But they say you take it off, and they're like, no, I don't know about this shit. It's like they're serious. And then, like, when you ask them, why are you wearing the mask? Oh, well, there's a lot of people who aren't, so I'm just protecting myself. And it's like, you dumb shit. You realize that mask is not designed to protect you from anything. It's designed to protect us from you, right? But these dumb fucks don't even realize this. I mean, seriously, what we're seeing is like the most extreme epitome of like virtue signal culture that's ever existed. Like people 100 years ago would fucking just laugh at these people. Seriously, they're idiots.
Yeah, I want to remind everyone in the audience, this is kind of a free-for-all tonight. So if you have any comments, questions, you want to get on the chat, just leave anything in the chat and we will get to you guys. We'll address all you guys. Let's see. Tippy Canoe says, they're letting you guys help push the false dichotomy. There is no virus. We've addressed, okay, this. We've right addressed this many times.
Let me fucking address this. All right, motherfucker.
All right, take a breath first. Take a breath first. Then you can address.
All right, let me explain this once and once only. Well, and probably 100 more times after today. There was a real fucking virus. There were three of them. All three of them are listed in the GenBank as the Wuhan pneumonia virus, 1, 2, and 3. Okay? That is legit. Those were real isolations. Those really fucking occurred. And how I know they really fucking occurred? Because I got hit with 4 months of myocarditis. I almost fucking died. All right? This thing was real as it gets, and I caught it from my fucking roommate who had the exact same symptoms as me, who caught it from jail, who got it from other fucking prisoners who all had it in fucking jail, all the same symptoms, all myocarditis, all resulted in feet swelling because of the HIV spliced into the spike glycoprotein, which overly aggressively binds to human fucking cells and causes your body to have an overly aggressive immune reaction. Okay, that is the cause of the myocarditis reference COVID-19. It was really fucking real. It existed. And as per Luc Montagnier, because of the artificial inserts of the HIV, the genome degraded so quickly and mutated so quickly that by last April, it was fucking gone. Okay, so yeah, it was real. And then it went away a year ago. But it was fucking real. And after that, all they did was they rebranded the flu as COVID-19. But I'm sick of having to tell people this. It was real. It was isolated. And I don't want to hear nothing else about it because I have the data to prove it.
Yeah, it didn't have the effect that they were intending in the beginning. You know, we weren't seeing crazy stuff coming out of China and in Italy and these other countries where people were dying from
it. It burned itself out way faster than they anticipated. But nonetheless, it burned itself out very quickly because you can't fuck with nature and expect it to just keep going. It would not be fortuitous in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I've said on multiple times when I've been up here, people can believe what they want to believe and that's fine. But I always have told people when you're trying to get more people on your side, you definitely want to approach this, as real. Okay. Right out the gate, whether you actually believe it or not, as I've said multiple times, if we go back to the movie, The Matrix, you know, they had to go into the Matrix to get Neo. You have to go to where these people are at because, you know, the reality around them is the Matrix. So you have to infiltrate in there to get them out of it. So to see the bigger picture of what's going on, not so much just this virus, but what they're trying to do worldwide as far as a caste system and things of that nature, two-tier system.
Yeah, I'm not down with this caste system. Like, I've been looking through events here in Denver to shit's starting to open up again, and I'm wanting to like actually have a fucking life again. And I'm looking at some of these like stipulations for some of these club motherfuckers, right? Like, you can come to the new club, but you got to have your vaccine. And then I'm like, I'm fucking highlighting and copying and pasting and slapping it right into comments of every one of these fucking ads to let people know that this is just brutally unacceptable. Like, we do not live in motherfucking India. Okay, we don't have a caste system. We've had a self-imposed caste system for years based on the color of our fucking skin, which is disgusting in and of itself. We don't need this shit now. We don't need anything else to divide us over a fucking virus that was gone a year ago.
Yep. I'm right there with you. And you can go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. Go ahead, Skew.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I will say this right there at the beginning of, well, at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, at my job, and this is why I believe myself that something was really going on then, for the simple fact is that everybody almost at work got hit at the same time. And I'm talking about people were like down and out, like they were pretty hit by a 50 cal. And I mean, for weeks there, we couldn't hardly get anybody at work because they were so sick. And we were like, dude, isn't this funny? I mean, we've had people sick before, but we had people just go down all of a sudden like this. And they, you know, they could barely make it to work. So it was here way before, okay? And then they just rebranded it later on so they could push an agenda because they seen an opportunity.
Yeah, and it was also the flu has also been rebranded. Everything is has changed according to the CDC.
And the biggest fucking lie, and the thing that's like the most mind-boggling of all of it is the asymptomatic spread and the masks. Really, that is like the biggest crock of bullshit ever, right? Wrap fucking pantyhose over your face and it'll protect you from goddamn AIDS. I mean, like, it's the dumbest shit ever. And I really just can't believe that everyone is so fucking stupid and still falling for it.
I'm happy that this happened in a way because it's exposing the fraudulent medical system. It's exposing doctors and the pharmaceutical companies for the bullshit that you are. I mean, even preventative medicine, Corey and I were discussing the other day, is probably a crock of bullshit, a large portion of it, at least, you know, cancer screenings, things like that. It's designed to get you in there, to keep you sick, to keep you going in there, to keep you medicated. It's all about the money. That's what our medical system is. And I'm glad that this is at least opening some people's eyes to that.
The worst part about this is that the real culprits are being fucking ignored. Like, this isn't China. All right. Anybody who knows anything about fucking history knows that they have set a brilliant false trail to China with funding and with fucking, you know, shady Chinese government. It's got all this good spy aspects of a good story, but it's a story nonetheless. This motherfucking thing was created in either Austin, Texas or North Carolina by Ralph Barrick. End of story. Like, he's the world expert on gain of function and coronaviruses, and no one ever talks about him. You got, what's his name? Paul. Rand Paul talked about him finally last week. But Ralph Barrick has been, since the like 1980s, he's been the man in the world on gain of function for coronaviruses. He put out a paper in 2015 that he was actively working on gain of function in bat coronaviruses in North Carolina. This was done by Israel through Beth Israel Hospital, funding to Ralph Barrick in North Carolina, and then the false, then he's connected to the CIA and all those fucks, right? So that is where this came from. It came from, it started with Israel, and it was funded through Beth Israel, created by Ralph Barrick, and then transplanted all over the world simultaneously. The Washington strain predated the Wuhan outbreaks. It's fucking ridiculous. And none of these fucks who killed Kennedy or did 9/11 or any of the, or Martin Luther King or any of these things who are doing this to us now are going to be held accountable. And they're the guilty party. And no one's talking about it. And that's really pissing me off because everyone's still saying, oh, it's evident that it leaked from a lab. They didn't even have this fucking particular strain at that lab. Okay. It's clearly a setup. Clearly a setup, and no one else is talking about it. And that's the most frustrating thing for me as a historian who sees the same fucking people over and over and over again just screwing the world. And everyone's like, oh, it's the Chinese. Fuck you.
When the mainstream is gone with something like, oh, it's a lab leak, and they say it's okay to talk with it, that means you got to go with the opposite. That means this is they're feeding you some bullshit.
Well, you notice they had the whole Palestinian bombing and shit last week, and it suddenly came to a stop. Suddenly overnight, right? They fucking... Like, they were drawing too much attention to themselves. Too much of the world was going, this has to stop. And now it's not even in the fucking news at all anymore. It's gone. It's vanished, right? Mm-hmm. And then this shit will start again next year, okay? The world will never have peace as long as Israel exists. And that is the bottom line.
Now, yeah, I have a... Go ahead, XCube.
Yeah. When you were talking about the China deal, I've always asked people, and I've always said, I'm like, what doesn't make any sense is that if it began there, okay, if this is where it started, then how they only got 4,000 people dead? Man, in Shanghai and Beijing, they don't have 20 people combined dead. It's like, man, both of those places have got over 20 million people as far as their population, 1.4 billion people in China, and something starts there, and you mean to tell me it can only clip 4,000? And they just pretty much stopped testing? And the whole anal swab thing, that was nothing but a ruse. It was just trying to see if everybody else would start, you know, swabbing your butthole, you know, just to, you know, insult the injury, you know, that's what they like to do. So I stuff like that, you look at Vietnam, hardly any deaths, Taiwan, hardly any deaths. You're just like, I mean, if it started in Asia, then, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way that their mask and social distancing is better than ours.
There's a couple things here. First off, they didn't test you if you weren't sick. They didn't do this asymptomatic testing. Like, only mm-hmm. if you had fucking symptoms and went to the hospital and got tested did you get tested, which was the way it should have been done here in America, right? We would have had next to no deaths here. We would have had a couple thousand and that would have been it. because the myocarditis that I got, I'm a very healthy guy. Person who's not as healthy would have fucking wrecked. They would have died. Like I had the most. My symptoms were fucked up for 4 months, dude. I literally I thought I was gonna keel. But back to China. To me, it was obvious from day one what was happening. It was obvious that they were laying false trails. These are the same false trails they laid against the Nazis in World War II and against the North Vietnamese in Vietnam and North Koreans in the Korean War. Like this is, I saw the same false trail precursor to war bullshit that I've always seen. And so like none of this really seemed like, none of this was a mystery from day one. It was like, I knew the answer on day one. And then I just had to wait for the evidence to come out, and every single fucking bit of it did. And I honestly credit that simply to understanding psychological warfare. Like the psychological warfare videos that I put out, you guys should really go back and watch. Because if you learn that stuff, you start to see it in the media instantly. It becomes almost like obvious.
This is something that we've been discussing earlier. You know, speaking of psychological warfare, Tippy Canoe in the chat asks, so if you think the virus was real and it's not really having an effect anymore, how do you expect them to continue this biosecurity state op that they're, you know, trying to do right now?
That's why they rebranded the flu.
That is why they rebranded. That's still not really gonna, you know, this thing is, it seems like it's collapsing.
Yeah, but dumb fucks. Yeah, but you got 150 million dumb shits out there who got the vaccine, which means you have 150 million people out there who are easily manipulatable.
Right. So, one thing you got to look at, what country is trying to keep this going? The UK. The UK is trying their best to keep it going. And what they have seen with the passes that they're trying to do, it's got much more than just, you know, whether you receive this COVID vaccine or not in it. It's got all kind of stuff in their passports. So the UK right now, they literally are like at zero deaths. And it's still like, well, you know, in India, but they got that triple mutant variant that but it'll pull your drawers down and jack your dick, you know, with no lube. I mean, you know, nobody likes a raw jerk. So, I mean, hey, but we got to keep it locked down. So it's just kind of funny how they're like really the main nation. Well, of course, you've got New Zealand and Australia that are complete freaks. Melbourne just shut down because 9 people supposedly, you know, got a snotty nose. So we got to lock everything down for a couple of weeks.
America is the only Western nation. America is the only Western nation who's really opened back up. Like they have broken from Australia and the other. Like, if you notice, the West is entirely controlled by Israel, if you haven't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, America is the only country that is broken from that. And I think they knew there was a revolution coming. Motherfuckers were not taking it. Like it was on the edge of people getting shot, right? They knew they couldn't. This isn't, I'm sorry. Like America might be a bunch of dumb fucks, but we're stubborn dumb fucks. You know what I mean?
With guns.
And that's
what I said. The main thing, I was like, the UK, it's all these places, the minute they want to come take your gun, the minute they talk about gun control, it's just control over the people. They're not trying to make you safer. And of course, we've seen, especially this year, a whole list of mass shootings that make no sense at all. Like the most recent one in San Jose. I mean, the guy, he just woke up at 6:30 a.m. and said, you know what? Today's a good day to burn down my house, another house I own, and go shoot some folks at work just because I'm feeling some type of way. And while I'm at it, I'm going to shoot myself at the end of it, too. It's just like, but it makes no sense at all.
No, this was just like San Bernardino. This one was Mossad. This one's just like Parkland. Like when you get witnesses who say there was a guy in fucking army fatigues, all in black and a mask, and he's shooting, but then the real guy has a pair of blue jeans and a red plaid shirt on. You're like, what's going on here? Right? Like I have these debates with some other very serious historians over these school shootings, and one of my associates, who's really the only person I can have these conversations with, is very dead set against the fact there were ever conspiracies and they were all just the result of taking those pills, you know, the ADHD pills and shit. But I don't believe that at all. Like I've gone deep into Sandy Hook and that thing was a total bullshit clusterfuck. Like San Bernardino and Parkland, like, I don't know, man. Like if you ask me, that's the Mossad. And I say that because we have a throw mama from the train relationship with Israel. They do terrorists for us. We do wars for them over there. I mean, that's the relationship we've always had with them. So, but yeah, these fucking shootings, that brings us to police, which is the next thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There's these fucking police shootings, like the shit in Louisiana that just happened, where they said he died in a car crash, right? The suspect died because he fled from police and died instantly upon impact. But then 5 minutes of a body camera comes out of them whipping the guy's ass to death and admitting on camera that they whipped his ass to death. I hope all these fucks in Louisiana get the death penalty. Like, there's no excuse for this. None, and not in 2020. This was 1960s mentality that these fucks did. And what was the one right before that? What was the other shooting that just happened recently? There was one right before that one.
Talking about, now I know Andrew Brown when I think he was trying
Andrew
to run
Brown.
Him over.
Right. Andrew Brown. Yeah. So this is a really good one because he was in his car and he was fleeing, right? And you should see the video. The cops are jumping in front of the car to stop him. Okay. What happens if a normal person jumps in front of a moving car? They're probably going to get hit, right? So that's the cop's fault for jumping in front. What cops have a tendency to do is they'll hop in front of a car and say that they used the car as a weapon and that the weapon was coming at me, so I had to shoot him to remove all possible control of the vehicle from whoever was inside. And so this is such bullshit because if you look into the United States Association of the Chiefs of Police, they have an extremely detailed breakdown of the nationally accepted standards for these things. And if you read through the standards on weapons and vehicles, it'll clearly state if the only weapon is the vehicle itself, you are not authorized to shoot at that vehicle. But then what do we have? What do we have? We have the fucking district attorney coming out, ignoring precedent, ignoring the Supreme Court, ignoring all kinds of previous case law, and saying he used the vehicle as a weapon, so they shot him. This was some fucking dumb fucking white country bumpkin covering for his fucking redneck buddies. Is exactly what the fuck happened in that case. That case was a fucking murder, just like the case of the guy who was fleeing. I'm going to screen share real quick. I want to go over this one particular chart. This is the most important chart in all of law enforcement. Cops live and die by this chart here. And this isn't exactly the best representation of it, but it's good enough for me to explain to you guys. So there's different levels of risk perception when it comes to cops having the ability to kill somebody or fuck them up or whatever it is, right? And it's not like these people have to guess. A cop can't say, oh, well, I thought he had a gun, so I shot him, but yet he didn't demonstrate any of the properties or mechanisms of a person who has a gun, right? So at the bottom here, this is you have a compliant subject, right? And you have cooperative controls. That's really just verbal, right? So if you have a person who's just giving you verbal resistance, right, you are not allowed to slam them or shoot them or none of that stuff just because they're telling you to go fuck yourself, right? They're still basically considered a compliant subject because they're not actively attempting to fight you or anything like that, right? So you're very limited on what you can do there. The next level up from that is called passive resistance. And from there, you can use the next level of force, which basically for a passively resistant person is someone who's, you're giving them orders, hey, sit on the ground, you know, put your hands behind your back, turn around, whatever, and they're just refusing to do that, okay? Then from there, you can put your hands on, you can use, you know, certain pressure points, you can do certain things if a person is being passively resistant, but you're not allowed to fuck them up and shoot them and all that stuff. And what we're seeing as we go through this, and I'll explain more, but what we're seeing out in society is that we're getting resistance at like a passive level or even like an active level, and then cops are coming in not at the same level of enforcement, right? So they're jumping the shark, and they're going from, like, a lot of times I've seen passive resistance lead to deadly force, right? And that's unacceptable. And that's what's happening with cops in this fucking country these days. So the next level up, you have active resistance. Active resistance is this person is actively trying to get away from you. They're trying to break your grasp. They're bracing and tensing. They might even push you, but they're not really trying to hurt you. They're just resisting in an active way. Most of the time, this is people trying to escape are resistantly active. So, and from there, you're basically, you can use forward strikes, kicks, blows, tasers, that kind of stuff. That's pretty much accepted. Whatever the person is doing to resist, you can go one level higher in order to gain control of them. So then when you have like an assault of bodily harm situation, right, level 4 on the chart, that's someone actively physically fighting you. If someone is actively physically fighting you, I need you to note this. It still does not meet the necessary requirements to go to deadly force. I mean, you can whack the shit out of the person with your baton or tase them or just beat the fuck out of them at that level. But still, deadly force, even if this person is physically trying to fucking hurt you, you are not allowed to use deadly force. But we see it all the time. This is where the biggest, like, this is what we see most of the time when we see violations of use of force policy in the police. We're seeing it in this area. We're seeing it in this, like, harmful kind of like level four that do not require deadly force, but they're getting it anyway. Okay, that's what we're seeing the most out there in police is between this fourth and fifth level. And then obviously this lethal level is if they're trying to assault you, do physical bodily harm, they're trying to fucking kill you. That is when you can use deadly force. Now, but all too often we're seeing these fucking cops, they're just jumping straight through all of these different levels and they're going from like passive to deadly force or active to deadly force. You can't fucking do that. And then to prove that our fucking justice system is the biggest sham ever, the fucking state attorneys who know this stuff, they just let it roll. They just fucking pretend this doesn't exist. This is like, this is drilled into your fucking head when you're a cop every goddamn day that you're a cop. But as soon as you violate it and you're on trial, this shit goes out the window and no one ever fucking heard of it. This is the biggest fucking thing about law enforcement that pisses me off is the outright lying. And I know because I did this job for 9 fucking years. I did all the horrible shit that all these pieces of shit are doing today. I did. And I'm hoping that the work that I've done, you know, on my police stuff has exposed a lot of this. But the bottom line is these cops are pieces of shit. They're good old boys. They don't have fucking college degrees. Not that you need a college degree, but for cops, you better have a 4-year fucking degree to show me you got the patience to get through it, to be able to go out there and deal with these most sensitive of situations. You know, how we handle law enforcement in this country is like a bull in a china shop. We do not do it by the book. We go in there and we run and gun because that's the mentality of modern day cops, because that's the mentality that I was taught, you know? And that was only, I've only been out like 7 years. It hasn't changed a whole lot, you know? The mentality has not changed at all. And that's really, we're fucked.
One of the things I'm wondering if we should take a look at, and it was also brought up in the chat, is with all of the agendas going on right now, how much of this is, I don't want to say staged, but being kind of nudged or pushed by higher sources or let go or, you know, not being looked at enough because of certain agendas going on. You know, how much of this is kind of being manufactured or planned a little bit to a certain extent, you know?
No, I think that like I'm sorry, I'll cut you off. But the only thing I want to say on that is that the most rudimentary of protector mechanisms that the cops use, right? It's protect us at all costs. Right. Whether it costs our reputation, whether it costs the truth, whether it costs somebody to sit in jail for 50 years who shouldn't be, whatever, at all costs, the mechanism of police work needs to be protected. Because if not, and you start, if you implemented a 4-year degree mandatory for all fucking cops, guess what? You'd have about 60% less cops today, period. There would not be, people with college degrees don't want to become cops, right? You have a really weird niche. And unless we change the entire culture and the entire way that law enforcement works in this country, which I don't think is even possible, then we're fucked. We started on a bad foundation.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I will say one thing as far as what Chris was saying about manufacturing and even what you were saying, Corey, especially over this past year with the BLM movement and the on-right onslaught as far as on the cop side, they have pushed fear of the cops even more, especially in the black people. So more black people are putting themselves into situations where they're actually resisting arrest, actively trying to get back in their vehicle and things of that nature. Therefore, it's being able to push the narrative more as far as what BLM wants and things of that nature. So they have actually instilled fear in the people and made it where you in a situation, depending on, you know, what's going on, if you get taken to jail, whatever, that you're going to resist arrest because you're like, well, the cops kill people. It's like, well, now you're starting to put yourself in more of a situation. I might've been pulled once in my life, twice, maybe, never thought I was in any danger, but I do know one thing. If somebody's trying to, take me to jail for any type of reason, the last thing I want to do at that moment is to resist, because I do understand that there may be consequences. As you were saying, Corey, people skipping steps in the chart you had up and moving right to deadly force for the simple fact they don't know what you're about to do. So I'm understanding what you're saying there. I do think BLM has instilled more fear in the black people, and we're seeing more and more people trying to actively get away from police when they're about to be arrested for drugs or whatever, as opposed to fighting in court. Well, they're probably a win, you know, to get thrown out for something stupid. Because, I mean, folks don't go to jail.
And the one thing I want to comment also, and I'm not defending police in any way, shape, or form, because I genuinely do believe there is an institutional racism throughout police, but it's a very unique, opportunistic type of racism. It's not, we're going to go out and arrest black people because they're black. It's, we're going to go out and target people who we know can't fight back, regardless of their color. It was more about economic status. I knew that I could push the limits of searches or how I got into cars. Or I knew if you didn't fucking couldn't afford a lawyer, I could pretty much do what I wanted. And it didn't really seem to have any effect. And I still felt like the good guy, which is the most fucked up part of the whole thing. Cause I was a monster. Really. If you guys knew me, I was a fucking monster then. It really took a major eye-opening experience internally at the sheriff's department for me to realize, oh my God, these people don't have your back at all. Right. This whole thing is a fraud. This whole thing is a big fucking fraud. Right. And so I was like, no fucking way. I was like, I'm out of this. I'm not jumping through their hoops. I'm not doing this. I was like, fuck y'all. And leaving police work is the hardest thing in the world to do. You feel like you might as – I understand why cops kill themselves when their job is threatened, because their identity becomes based on it. They don't have an identity without it. And like one thing I'll tell you this much, I had fucking hundreds of cop friends, 100 people at my agency. When I went to the sheriff's office, 1,000 people there. I had a ton of friends there. The day I left law enforcement, I had one friend. None of them talked to me ever again. None. I have one friend who has stuck by me this whole time, you know, and stayed friends with me. And she's even had her own fucking problems, you know, but she doesn't leave because of the culture, because it's scary. It's like you got this family. And if you leave, even if you don't like your family, it's your family, right? It's that kind of fucking mentality. It's really fucked up, man. I wasted 9 years of my fucking life doing that job, but I guess it brought me here with you fucking clowns. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, there's definitely good that came out of it, man. But do you think that most of the police right now, how do you think that they feel about how they're portrayed and what's happening? And, you know, if you're just an average cop on the street, you know, do you think that they are scared to be a cop? Or
no, not at all. There's no fear. Fear is not a mechanism that cops engage in. No, they think they're victims. They're like, people will never understand what we have to deal with out here. Bullshit. I understand what you have to deal with out there. And I'm telling you, you're overly misinterpreting the importance of your job, the fear of your job. There is this like feeling that you're invincible. Genuinely, there's a feeling that you know everything more than the average person. You generally feel like you're like an elite human being when you're accepted into that kind of like world. And it's the biggest fucking, it is a shell game. It is the biggest fraud ever. And nobody should want to do that job anymore. It is not what you think it is. It is not all the, there's too much. Like when I was in from 05 to 14, and I got sued a couple times. I had at least fucking 50 complaints over my, you know, over my career, but that's just average stuff, right? It's stuff like people are like, oh, this cop had 10 complaints and he shot this guy. Man, everybody gets 10 complaints because you arrest somebody and they don't like going to jail. You're getting a complaint, right? So I shouldn't have been arrested, you know? And it's like, yeah, I forgot what we're talking about. So
I was just asking, what do you think how do you think the average cop feels about everything that's going on?
Yeah, they think they're victims. Wow. The public will never understand the tragedy and the hardship we have to go through and all this stuff. And it's like, bitch, you decided to do this. You weren't born into this. You fucking chose it. So I don't want to hear nothing. You don't like to get out.
Yeah. I've always said that. Well, I've said that about multiple things. People who are in the military who chose to be there. Now, I've always said, if you got drafted, oh yeah, complain. I mean, I want to hear all your complaints if you got drafted, because he was like, but I didn't decide I want to go over there and go through that shit. I will say, one thing, I know you've got that experience with it. Of course, you never know what somebody else is going to do, of course, as far as even during a routine pull, if you're doing for like a brake light and stuff like that, which I ain't never understood pulling somebody for a brake light. But that's one of the things that I ain't never understood. But
you got to show that you're doing stuff. You got to show that you're doing stuff. You can't just show that you're sitting there all day.
Yeah. But I know for a fact the cops over the past year that I have been absolutely disappointed in is the ones who have been going and busting up people's businesses, arresting people for masks, and things of that nature. Gretchen Whitmer, of course, made a video on it about her, you know, going against her own edict and eating with, you know, 12 people in a restaurant. And she said, oh, you know, it just kind of slipped by me because we're vaccinated. And then, like, I think it was like a couple days earlier, something like that, somebody had got arrested, been in jail 4 days, business fined $15,000. And it's just like, there's no accountability, especially for the elites, of course. The cops are not going to go, you know, to Gretchen Whitmer's establishment and slam her on the ground and take her to jail and fine her $15,000. So it's been really disgusting. Maybe it hadn't been as much in the U.S. as opposed to like Canada, U.K., where they're way out there with that stuff, you know, Australia, New Zealand. But the cops who have been doing that, I've been totally against the whole time.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how these, especially in Canada, like up in fucking Canada, of all places, which is supposed to be like chill, like they're the worst of all of them. Like they seem to be, I mean, they're pulling pastors out of churches and shit. I mean, like, are these cops who do that stuff because they're, you know, hiding behind the facade of public safety. They're in a bad spot. I got to admit. I mean, like they're told you got to go, this is your job. You got to go out and fucking do it. And in doing it, they're traitors. They're become traitors. They're forced into being traitors to their country. Like I couldn't do it. I would quit and sue. I would quit and fucking sue. I mean, that's basically how I would do it.
Mm-hmm. There's two type of dangerous people out there right now. And make no mistake, they are dangerous. The ignorant and the order followers. They're dangerous to our way of life. They're dangerous to freedom because they will enslave you. If it means that they get to keep their position, if they're granted a bit of safety, these people who are supposed to protect you, they have no problem letting you die, letting your family die, or you lose everything that you have in order to protect themselves. So the ignorant and the order followers over the past year have really been exposed in my eyes.
So I just think that, like, at this point in time, we got, like, what, 3 to 5 years before these fucking people start dying? Like, can't they get them some more boosters, like accelerate this process a little? Seriously, like, we're going to have to put up with this. Oh, you get your vax for fucking years until all these fucks die off.
Well, I mean, that's CDC where we're at. May have been right about the zombie apocalypse, you know.
Oh, I think it's great. We're going to get to see all the world leaders who took the fake jab because they all lived, right? It's going to be great.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
They were jabbed and you could see them squirting the stuff out on the side. Oh, those were all great.
Yeah, Fauci couldn't remember which arm he got.
Or the disappearing needle. The disappearing needle was the best. Mm-hmm. I've seen that one like 3 different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And the fact that when you talk to a whole lot of people, they just look at you like, man, what are you talking about? It's just like everything that's happening right now, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you say. You can show research. You can show footage. They just look at you like, nah, man, it's not like that. It's not the way you think.
That is the false reality that has been woven for these people. And like COVID is bringing it to their attention, but it's been in place. I can trace it back to at least World War II, right? The false narrative. No narrative the government has ever had post-World War II till now has ever been correct or on the right side of history or on the right side of morality or on the right side of anything. Like, look at all the bullshit that got pushed over Kennedy and look at all the bullshit that got pushed over Vietnam and look at all of the lies around Contra and Watergate and what's next. Then you got the October surprise and then moving into the 80s, then you got what else? All the shit Reagan did. And then Bush, like, it's all been a fucking universe of false narratives. The world that people think they fucking live in is a fantasy land. Yep. It is a 9/11, fantasy land.
The Muslim crisis.
In the real world, COVID. When you step out of the fucking matrix, it's the goddamn United States with that Darth Vader helmet on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is, or a better example, we're like Master Blaster from fucking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Israel is the little fucking midget on our back, and we're the big fucking brawny guy with no brains. That is us post-World War II.
Yeah, I got a question from the chat. Mateo, you need to maybe elaborate on this question a little bit. He says, ask the former cop about arresting cops. What about arresting cops? Be a little bit more specific. Led Distortionist says his uncle got shot by the police because he was drunk and noisy, but he had a butter knife. Huh.
Interesting. Yeah, so like cops will – you'll get. I've seen cops get arrested for sure. It's all about whether you're in that – you know, circle that needs to be protected or not. Right. I've seen cops get arrested for dumb shit, like banging on their girlfriend's door at 2 a.m. Let me in, you know, and they come and get a fucking criminal trespass or something. Right? I've seen careers ended over that. But then again, I've seen cops get busted with fucking steroids, right? All fucking juiced up. And then like they get a 2-week suspension. It's like, what is your fucking, there's no rhyme or reason, because it's all about who's the boss and whether or not you're friends with him or not at any department. I don't care. You could fucking rape a child on the fucking internet and not even go to jail, because that's happened at least 3 or 4 times this past year alone for cops. That's another thing. I'm going to screen share one more thing. And this is fucking hilarious, because this is what I'm going to show you. This is going to show how pathetic cops really are, and that they're really no better than us, and probably they're a little worse than us as far as the average person goes. Let me see. All right, so let me screen share. All right, so if you just type "cop arrested" into Google in quotes and go to news, you're going to get a fucking list that never seems to end of cops who were actually arrested for mostly 2 things. There's 2 things cops go to jail for: domestic battery and sexual assault. Those are the 2 most engaged in crimes by cops. So here we got cop arrested for 2 different sexual assaults from 3 days ago. Ex-cop who was arrested for 2 women's murders, allegedly used social media to find victims. San Diego cop is filmed punching homeless man. Like, when you go through the cop arrested Google search, this will just go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you will find Jersey Shore cop arrested for sexually abusing juvenile. It never ends. Forest Grove cop arrested for rolling BLM flag incident. Veteran New Jersey cop arrested after meth lab found in his fucking basement. Okay. So cops commit crimes more than the average person across the board, because they know they're not going to fucking anything's going to happen. They're not going to be investigated. And if they are, odds are it's just going to go away. All right. Here's another one. Cop arrested for sexually assaulting a teen. Got accused of another assault days later. Miami cop arrested on domestic violence charges. LA cop faces child porn charges. This never, ever ends. You can seriously scroll through hundreds of pages of these and you'll be back like less than a month. Cop arrested for extortion. Welcome cop arrested after he found a wife dead in the street. Like, fuck. I mean, like, these motherfuckers think they can get away with anything, and they can. But yes, I thought that was fascinating, because when you actually look into like, statistically, one month I was tracking this, and I found over 150 cops in the U.S. were arrested in a single month. And like, I didn't have the time to do the real deep dive into like the demographics comparatively, but like, of any particular single group, excluding like race, of any particular group, like, that's got to be more than any other fucking group out there getting arrested in a single fucking month. It's really kind of crazy. If they were all part of like one group, like if it was all parts of like the Dodgers, the LA Dodgers, they're all 150 guys arrested in a month from the LA Dodgers, people would have their hair on fucking fire. But since it's in different departments spread out around the country and it's spread out through local media, no one really puts together that this group of people is committing more crimes than fucking anybody. You know, and they're severe crimes. They're severe, violent felonies, or drug-related felonies, or sexual-based felonies. There's a whole long reason why cops enjoy rape. It's really fucked up, but it's true.
Well, cops in general have a mentality, most, that I don't understand. Initially, for becoming a cop, you know, I just don't understand the mentality for wanting to do a job like that. No offense to you, Corey. I mean, you've seen the light and come around, but you know, it's just, and even after they've been cops for years, you know, I'll be talking to someone who's a police officer and it's just, there's no clicking there. It's like, they're on a completely different wavelength. There's no mutual understanding. And it you know, it's just a certain type of psychological profile, I guess, that just goes for a police officer.
Yeah. Make no mistake about it. They think you are a peasant. Seriously, it starts with this, you're taught the us against them mentality from day one, which is like us versus the world, right? So it's not about going out and helping protect people and all this stuff. It's about us battling against the evils of the world. But then over time, when you start to realize that you're getting stabbed in the back by other cops and half the guys who work for you don't like you and fucking it's just a big old bullshit, you know, it's like high school, but worse. Then it starts to become everyone's an asshole except for me and my favorite sergeant and this one buddy I have. So you end up turning against the rest of the police department. This is a natural occurrence that happens across the board with police officers, whether they tell you this or not. Like they'll start to resent their, you know, they have no control over their lives fundamentally. They don't have any control over when they get promoted. They don't have any control over the job they do. Every single thing about their job is somebody telling them to do something. Go to that call and do this. Go to this call and do, you know. So when you're when you have no control over your life in any way, shape, or form, and the only thing you have control over are the people that of the call that you're on at the moment, that is where you take out all your aggression and all your fucking anger and all your rage, because it's the only place that you have any control is when you're dealing with the citizens out on the street and it's your call. That is the only place that you have any control in your whole fucking life. And that caused me to implode. Like my life became a fucking, I melted down. Plus I had a girlfriend who was an alcoholic who didn't help things in the fucking least. Actually, she wrecked my life for at least 5 years. And I put up with it. You know, that was the proof that I couldn't save anybody. If I couldn't save her, how the fuck can I save any of these people out on the street? And that was another kind of reason I left. But yeah, it's the whole thing is like from a psychological perspective, there's a book out there you have to read if you want to understand cops. It's called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement, A Guide for Officers and Their Families. It explains the ins and outs of the day-to-day emotional grind, the hypervigilance emotional roller coaster. So you got to think, every time you go to your fucking job and you start putting your uniform on, I would become a different person, right? It was like, boom, like my girlfriend wouldn't talk to me until I got out of my uniform. I'd come home from work and start, you know, she'd be like, shut the fuck up and take your uniform off. I'm not talking to you, because I would be a different person. And so when you're in that state of mind, you enter into this like heightened state of hypervigilance that you experience every fucking day. And when you experience hypervigilance, like if you came home and your door was kicked open and there was motherfuckers in your house and had, you know, you'd be scared as shit. That is hypervigilance. Imagine going into that state 8 hours a day at a low level for 20 years. It destroys you on an emotional and physical level and a psychological level. It is the most horrific. It is the most horrific thing a cop can go through, because not only does it physically destroy him, it destroys his relationships. It destroys his perception of the world. And that's where this victimization mentality comes from. And I went through all of that shit. And anybody who voluntarily goes to become a cop, you don't know what you're getting into. You do not understand the ramifications of what it will do to you and the monster that you will become if you fucking do it. Because there is no self after you become indoctrinated. Once you drink the fucking Kool-Aid, there is no more Corey Hughes. There is just a robot. And it took me fucking years afterwards to learn to become a normal person again. It's the most devastating thing I've ever done in my fucking life. Yeah. Fuck every last one of them.
Well, we do understanding all those points. Those are good points, Corey. We do know what they're trying to say when they say police reform. They mean military police. That would be their next step, in my mind. I want to know what y'all's thoughts are on that, because I mean, what else would you move? I mean, how else are you going to reform?
I would agree.
Well, it can't get any harsher, because if it starts getting any harsher, people like me are going to buy guns and they're going to start shooting cops. That's a fucking reality. Exactly. I have no qualms about doing such. Zero. Okay. Yeah. So the bottom line is that's going to happen. The split second you start getting wide scale rebellion against militarized police. Well, see, there is no right answer. Because that will lead to more militarization, right? So I hope it doesn't go that way. Because if it does, everyone's fucked.
Yeah, that's my worry right there. Is that when they keep talking about police reform? Because especially Tlaib, AOC, the witches, the squad, whatever you want to call them, their premise, and I'm gonna do a video on this because they're deemed like some of the worst. People, they're bad people, but as far as getting policies passed, they're like at the bottom end of the totem pole. But they're not trying to rule through actual legislation. They're trying to rule through public perception. Okay. If we can get public perception, let me take this example for you. They never passed the $15 an hour minimum wage, but you see all these businesses having to move up to $15 an hour because nobody come back to work because they put the extra stimulus as far as the unemployment in place. So I don't have to rule. I don't have to get what I want pushed through legislation. I can get it pushed through coercion and through public perception. So I think that's one of the things. That's the way that they're approaching this. Because Tlaib and then they were like, yeah, we don't need any prisons. We don't need any police. Well, I mean, that means military, because you ain't going to have people govern themselves. I mean, that's obvious over the past year that you don't want people to have autonomy over their body unless they're killing a baby. Then kill as many babies as you want, you know, if that's your thing. So that's just what I think as far as what I've seen.
Yep, that's a good observation. Anything else before we close out, X-Cube? Any interesting stories that you've been keeping an eye on? Anything you think the audience should know about?
Yeah, interesting today, Patrice Cullors resigned, when the Black Lives Matter co-founder. She actually resigned today. Of course, she's done made her money, so it doesn't make any difference. But it seemed like I know the push for that organization as far as what they were pushing for this whole time is starting to drop as far as perception worldwide. And I just noticed that through my feed, through what I've seen through Facebook. You had so many people up there putting BLM, and they've kind of went by the wayside on that, especially seeing how, you know, right here recently that you just see that she was just a flat out grifter, you know, like Al Sharpton and the rest of those people who make millions of dollars off dumb people, you know, continuing to push the whole racism thing. So I thought that was very interesting today that she actually resigned from that, seeing how she was one of the founders of it. And it's kind of interesting to see where that whole movement to go from here.
I think their whole racial division agenda fell apart already. I mean, I don't think it's worked. And when you look at how the majority of people feel right now, I think that most people are seeing through the bullshit. I think that, you know, all the virtue signaling and the silly bullshit we're seeing on social media is just that. It's just a select few that are kind of being propped up so that we believe that that's the way that most of people feel. But I think it's the opposite.
Let me comment this on Black Lives Matter. That popped up after the Michael Brown shooting, right? That was the first case in Ferguson that really prompted Black Lives Matter.
Is that true? Was it that one in Florida?
Oh, Trevon?
Yeah, I think it's one in Florida.
Okay, I remember that one too.
And so it wasn't even a white guy. I mean, the guy wasn't even white.
Right.
Shot Trevon, yeah.
So let me talk about Michael Brown for a second, because that was a big one. That was really brought a lot of attention. That was the biggest one, I think, of all of them, because it really was a catalyst. And my problem is that fucking case was a clear-cut murder. Like, I did an almost two-hour video just on the Michael Brown shooting breakdown. I talked about everything from his radio communications to where he positioned the vehicle in the street to where everything. And I clearly proved 100% it was a slam dunk murder. His testimony was bullshit about Michael Brown reaching into the fucking window. All that, I debunked all that conclusively. And not a single person associated with Black Lives Matter or any other group who challenged that, none of them pointed out the things that I pointed out, which was proved that it was a fucking murder. Like, slam dunk. Like, I've been in that situation. I know how to handle a situation like that. Two guys just rob a store, allegedly, even though it wasn't a robbery. And then in the middle of a fucking street, how do you handle it? And they're walking away. There is only one way to handle that. It's a textbook decision, and he didn't make it. And that started a domino effect of bad decisions that he made, combined with the fact that he got out of his car, and then he shoots fucking Michael Brown as he's running away in the back, which cut the side of his arm, so they couldn't conclusively prove he was shot in the back. But I've looked at every single one of these fucking shootings, and I can debunk every one of them. I can explain step by step where the cops fucked up and how they're covering their asses, and how the gray area of interpretation of the perception of danger is what these guys fall back on. And it's the most frustrating part for me is that none of these organizations who claim to give a shit about Black people are challenging the points that I made, which are the only valid, relevant points in the whole fucking thing. And I see it over and over and over and over and over again. Nobody's going to bring up the fucking, American Association of Chiefs of Police, who have outlawed shooting at cars, right? No one's going to bring this stuff up. all every single one of these cases, especially ones that went to a jury and got found not guilty or whatever, all these people should be fucking let. All these people have defense attorneys who don't bring up the right shit, right? Like, it's really frustrating for me seeing the mistakes these people are making and not correcting, and then it just never gets fixed again. That's the thing that really pisses me off the most, that these people are not doing their jobs. They're incompetent on a scale I can't explain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, those are good points right there. And of course, BLM wasn't going to point out the things that you brought up, because that was never the purpose of them. The purpose of them was never to protect any black lives at all, and especially black men. Black men to them were worthless unless they were killed by the police, because they were all about transgender, about lesbian, about gay, about the LGBTQ community. And I think that we've kind of transitioned to that, because now more and more people are talking about non-binary. You know, you've got Elliot Page out there cutting her tits out so she can, you know, get up there and show bare chested, and it's okay. And it's just like, it's
I'm non-binary. Absolute. I'm non-binary. Oh, I'm neither a zero nor a one.
Okay. Well, there we go. Well, I mean, I thought it was funny. Yeah, because I went through the video and it said that, you know, you're neither male nor female, or maybe you're in the middle of both of them. I said, well, you can't be in the middle of being male or female. I mean, you're either one or the other. I mean, it's just it. And I'm not catering to their fantasy. And the person who left a comment on my channel, it's like, no, what you're doing is that you're catering to the fantasy. The issue is that they're not targeting us older people. They're targeting the youth. That's the whole premise, because the way that you actually get your agenda pushed, whatever agenda you're trying to push, is by destroying the future generations. So we've already seen, as far as millennials, a large portion of them, even though I am a millennial, I think a little older than that. But we've seen the millennials were destroyed by the whole racism thing. They bought into that. Now they're trying to take the kids out by be scared of everybody around you, wear a mask, because they still have not released the kids from wearing masks in pretty much in all states. Well, except for the ones that Florida and things like that, who went all out on going against this. And then, hey, you know, I know you're a boy and I know you're 4 years old, but do you think you might want to be a girl? Because it's an option. And you see, they're pushing that. They got the drag queens on PBS. You know, airing episodes to 3 to 8 year olds. That's who they're targeted. So they're trying to actually push an agenda by destroying the future generation, because I mean, that's how you get it done. You destroy the youth, and then they can just pass it along to their kids, and then you get what you're looking for.
Is it an option now to where you can choose your gender on your birth certificate or some shit like that?
Yes. And some, I believe, well, actually in, I think New Jersey, you can, be identified as gender X, you know.
I'd like to be a woman for like an hour. That'd be fun.
for an hour. Okay. Well, I mean, that's fine. But even if you go, I'll tell you one thing.
I'd be a lesbian. It'd be fun.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I know one thing is that what I've seen right here recently is even your sites are starting to cater to it. I went to Spotify the other day. Male, it had male, female, and non-binary. Your sites are starting to cater to this thing. So that's another thing I was trying to say, as far as ruling through public perception as opposed through legislation, because people will impose rules upon themselves and kind of put themselves in chains and slavery. And if we start distorting reality, then, you know, the kids that are growing up now, I mean, they won't know what's real or not. So, I mean, a whole confused generation, that'd be easier to manipulate.
See, I like to confuse the government, because like my car doesn't match my driver's license, doesn't match my address. It's all scrambled. Like, I do that on purpose, right? Like, I should have
got to confuse them back.
Yes, I should have been putting female on shit for half of my applications just to really confuse them.
They'd be like, yeah, dude,
that's the only way to win.
They couldn't even call me out on it. I felt like a woman that day. What are you talking about?
I said, man, I mean, come on, guy. I mean, you might be the roughest looking female out there. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I mean, well, next to Caitlyn Jenner, which that thing is folded up, which we knew it was. It was all a ruse. I mean, right now, folks out there in California are like, you know, Gavin Newsom ain't that bad now that we think about it. Because, I mean, Caitlyn Jenner straight up came out and was like, well, you know, if the boys were taking, you know, hormone therapy, you know, at a real young age, then yeah, they can compete against girls. It's just like, y'all knew it was going that way. This is a grown man, 70 years old, that still got his dick, who thinks he's a woman. I mean, he's mentally ill. It makes no sense. And then folks cater to it, and they're like, oh, yeah, she. I said, it's a dude, man. Stop playing around with these folks. That's all I'm
saying. But if you don't cater to it, you're not going to be shunned. You won't be part of society. You won't be cool.
Well, good. They can kiss my ass, man. I ain't playing around with you. I'm calling you a dude. And if you get pissed off, move on. I just won't talk to you. And it'll be fine. You ain't got to talk to me. I don't have to talk to you.
I just want to remind everybody that our you know, Uncle Ted Kaczynski, he predicted all of this down to the fucking T. My only complaint, he didn't bomb enough people.
So he should have bombed a couple extra people.
He had some good points. Yeah,
I mean, well, half of his bombs didn't go off. Half his fucking bombs were duds, which is, you know, he learned over time, but the first couple, should have been it also.
Oh, you
like,
mean,
really,
you
like, Ted Kaczynski, man, he should let him go and let him be president. We'd have these problems fixed in no time.
You mean like the January 6th pipe bombs that didn't go off?
Yep. He had a couple. When you look into how he made his bombs, it was pretty fascinating stuff. I'd love to get his cabin. I guess it's in a museum somewhere. That's like the ultimate collectible.
The whole cabin's in a museum, like Cabin in the Woods.
Yep. They just picked the whole fucking thing up and put it in there. I collect cool shit. Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to show the audience my coolest shit I got this week. So this is a copy of Jack Valente's book, The Bitter Taste of Glory. Okay. I got it on eBay for $12. And it's signed by Jack Valente, the Grassy Knoll shooter, to Frank Church. Frank Church of the Church Committee. Extremely significant historical piece, which I stumbled into for $12. Excellent find. I'd love to have the Unabomber's cabin to go with it.
Yeah, you said it was a book from a guy who was trying to solve the Kennedy assassination, who got it from the killer of Kennedy and probably didn't know it.
Right. Yeah, so Frank Church, really, really famous guy from the 70s in Congress. He ran the Church Committee, which was basically like trying to say, hey, fuck you, CIA. You can't do this. And he was friends with Jack Valente, who was the Grassy Knoll shooter, the entire time and didn't know it. And he never knew it upon his death. And when I bought the book, I just knew it was signed by Jack Valente. That's why I bought it. I didn't realize it was inscribed to Frank Church. And when I saw that, I about fell off the chair because that is like – the ultimate in irony, because he was the crusader in the 70s who tried to solve Kennedy and didn't work.
Well, you got to think that, you know, I mean, even serial killers have friends. I mean, they might all be dead, but I mean.
Yeah, the more I look at the serial killer stuff, all those guys had military backgrounds. Really strange. Yeah, especially Son of Sam, which was really, if you watch Sons of Sam on Netflix, it shows how it was really a bunch of guys doing the Son of Sam killings, not just one.
Did Gacy have he wasn't military, was he? He was a clown, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a teacher. No, he was military, if I'm not mistaken. He had military also. All these guys did. They get some sort of something breaks in their mind in that sort of structure, I guess. I don't know.
Could be some kind of MKUltra shit.
The CIA had fucking murderers on the payroll, so it wouldn't be a stretch to see if, you know, some of these serial killings were well, another thing is like some of these serial killers who were if they were government backed, some of the speculation is that they might have killed 3 or 4 or 5 people to cover the murder of one. Make it look like a serial killer just to take out the one person you need, you know? So, that's how they think. I mean, that's really, though, they don't care. They'll fuck, you know, they took down Twin Towers just to go to war with a country that they didn't even need to do that for. You know what I mean? So they have no qualms about killing people.
Yeah. They even blew one up from the bottom and said that, you know, it was the airplane that took it out. Even though
it was funny. I was watching this footage of them bombing Gaza and all the buildings falling. None of them fell into their own footprint. Like, they all fell over. They got hit and then they fell over, because that's what gravity makes buildings do. So
I want to make sure I'm correct on something. Didn't we just recently fund the Hamas, or Hamas, however you say it? Didn't we just send them some money in the COVID relief package so they could buy rockets to shoot over at Israel?
mean, these cunts, they fund both sides. They play both sides. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, like, I'm not going to get into Israel. Fuck Israel. Like, we'd be here for years.
it's kind of like the movie American Made that I watched with Tom Cruise, where you know, he was working with the CIA and the cartel, And,
that's based on, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's based on the life of Barry Seal. And yeah, Barry Seal is an extremely integral guy in the Pablo Escobar cartel, working for the CIA, doing cocaine and gun running for the CIA. Pablo Escobar was a middleman for the CIA. That was not his operation. That operation was founded by the Galen organization under Reinhard Galen and his Nazis post-World War II, and it was managed by Escobar. Yay, fucking guy wasn't in charge of nothing. So funny. None of the cartel guys are bosses. They're all CIA middlemen, all of them.
Yeah, the CIA is the biggest drug dealing agency out there, period.
They created the drug trade. Created it. They partnered with Arnold Rothstein back in the fucking 20s to get heroin from Chiang Kai-shek in China. I mean, the fucking guy, that was before, that wasn't CIA, that was the Bureau of Narcotics. And then the Bureau of Narcotics goes on to be the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, goes on to become the DEA, which then the CIA helped create the DEA and put their own people in key positions in internal affairs at the DEA to cover up CIA drug trading. It is fucking disgusting. Like, none of you should ever pay your fucking taxes ever again. And when you need a witness to take, you know, take the stand when they arrest you, just call me and I'll come testify.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go to jail, Corey. I mean, I don't think you understand this.
Like, I'm so mad because, like, I'm going to make a lot of money in the next couple of years with crypto shit. And, like, I'm not paying a penny to fucking our government just to give it to Israel to go murder Palestinians. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. They can put me in fucking in front of a jury and try me and let me explain why I won't give them any of my fucking money, and I'll win, because the average Joe Schmo out there feels the same way I do.
Yeah, I happen to agree. You know, I don't feel like giving my money to the government anymore at all either. Well, X-Cube, thank you for joining us tonight. You got anything else pressing that the audience should know before you head out?
I think that's pretty much it for the most part, except the fact that, what's this place right here? Valley Health System is giving ice cream to 12 to 15 year olds if they get their COVID vaccination. So
yeah,
that's always
French fries, right, ice cream, $1 million, weed, and, I mean, you know, all kind of stuff.
In North Carolina, you don't have to have parental consent at 12 year old to get this vaccine. So they can coerce you right there at school.
Hey, how far are you from the University of North Carolina?
How far? Oh, but it's like an hour and a half from where I'm at.
Okay, that's where COVID came from. Just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I seen that. Yeah, because the one of the people who were working there was working directly with Wuhan at the time. If I'm correct,
Ralph Barrick. Yeah, Ralph Barrick, man. I swear, people are ignoring this fucking guy. He is the key to all this COVID shit. He is the guy.
There's another, I can't think of the person's name right offhand, but I believe it was in 2019, because I think there's a level 4 lab, bio lab in Canada, and some people were escorted out of that place and never heard from again. And there's a guy, Johnny Hoover, he's thinking that might have some correlation as well. With this SARS-CoV-2 nonsense we got going on.
Well, the SARS-CoV-2 is also directly tied to Charles Leiber, who was the nanotechnology specialist working for fucking Harvard and the Wuhan lab, and he got arrested when it became known that, like, Yale and Harvard and Princeton and all these Ivy League schools were taking in billions of dollars from China and Saudi Arabia and a bunch of these other countries, and not reporting it to the government. So that I know deep in my fucking soul that is connected to COVID somehow. I don't know how, but that is the tip of the spear of really where the direction of COVID research needs to go, into Charles Leiber and his connections to everything else. That's where all the answers will come from. That's where the proof will come from, I should say.
Oh, well, we know at the end of the day what it's about. It's about money and power. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Well, here's the thing. It's another thing with conspiracies. They have multiple levels and multiple layers and multiple reasonings. And for me, I can't seem to get away from, this is part of the greater Israel project to help. They tried it with MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. First time I heard of MERS, I knew it was made in a fucking Israeli lab, period. It wasn't even a fucking hard of a stretch, okay? So these fucking guys have been trying this for fucking years to just to wipe out the Arabs in the Middle East so they can expand into the Greater Israel Project. And that is only like a physical land. That's not even like the empire that they talk about in controlling the rest of the world from there. But that's what this is all about, if you ask me. The Greater Israel Project, and then ultimately control by the Jewish bankers, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, but I mean, do they know the Ark of the Covenant's in Ethiopia? I mean, do they know that?
That's an interesting story. I think all that shit from the Bible was like fiction. That's just me.
Here's what's weird. This story wasn't talked about, but this was like in December. They said like 800 people were killed out there in Ethiopia trying to protect the Ark of the Covenant. And like, yeah, so said anything about it.
I remember from years and years ago, there is a building out there that's guarded by some sort of fucking monks. And they say they have the Ark of the Covenant, but they won't let anybody in there. I mean, I've seen references to that for decades, but there's no proof that it's there. And I have a feeling that it doesn't look, if there even was an Ark of the Covenant. Well, hold on a second. Moses would have had to have been fucking real, and he wasn't. And so Moses wouldn't have had to have been real for there to have been an Ark. So no, I just go back to it's all fucking fiction.
Corey, I told you how you got to talk to people, man. You got to talk to people like it's not fiction.
I can't do it.
Yeah, you got. I know you can't. That's why I got to talk for you.
Yeah, we need representatives for Corey if we're gonna be in a court of law or anything like that.
I just don't play well with others. I'm like, what you believe is dumb. Shut up.
Yeah, that is true about that. Yeah, but that's all. That's all I got at the moment. But of course, you know, stuff pops up all the time. So.
Yeah, we're definitely going to explore more as things occur. So X-Cube, thank you for coming on. Great time as usual. And before you head out, let everybody know where they can find all your amazing content.
Plugs. We're at YouTube.com, of course, X-Cube420, capital X, capital C. Also on BitChute, which sometimes it is BitChute, depending on if it loads the video up. But BitChute, Odyssey, and NewTube as well. Be on the lookout. I am expecting to start my podcast either this weekend or next, as well as Patreon. I am starting that as well. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. Usually posting content every day. Unless I come do something like this will be the content for the next day. I just tell people to come check out Chris and Corey, which I appreciate a whole lot. Y'all have helped grow my audience, and I do appreciate y'all for having me on. I mean, it's a great time every time I'm up here, so I do appreciate y'all. But yeah, you can also find me on Twitter, on Instagram. I use those more as just if you want to message me, direct message me if you've got something interesting, sending videos, because you have to be careful sometimes, especially like on YouTube and stuff. You can actually get my channel struck by what you send me. It doesn't even have anything to do with what I'm doing myself. So yeah, those are other platforms you can get up with me as well.
Awesome. Well, yeah, definitely go check out all of X-Cube's content. He's got some amazing stuff. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We'll see you again tomorrow.